Welcome to the Killer Frogs Hour, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name's Hunter Nix. I'm filling in for Sean Fouché this week. And this is Season 4, Episode 12 for November 14th, 2007. Joining me tonight's on tonight's panel, we got Killer Frogs Emeritus, Wes Phelan. Wes?
Hey, I'm doing good. Coming back from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, we'll have to hear all about that wedding.
Yeah, it was a nice one.
We have TCU Hall of Famer, W.C. Nix.
Hey, hello.
Doing great. Sun came up. Everything's all right. We're going to just keep moving the right direction.
And the boss, Ryan Zeller. Ryan, what's going on?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'll have to tell you all about me pulling an all-nighter last night. I haven't done that in many, many years. So it's actually a good story. So it doesn't involve partying or anything like that. I'm pretty tired right now, but all good.
Can't wait to hear all about that. Yeah, we had a late night on the bus last night. Let's just jump right in. Let's jump right into Oklahoma. Wes, did you get to watch any of this game?
Good. I was able to. First of all, I can't believe my daughter scheduled a wedding on a football game day. I'm sure of that. But that being said, yes, I was able to watch the game in its entirety. Before we go off too far, I've got to have another rant here. Friends, nobody likes it when we lose, but please do not light into our players like that, like Frog Van Born last night. And certainly do not light into the players' parents. They don't deserve that. The players don't deserve it. And it just infuriates the bejesus out of me to see that happen. Let's put an end to that. Act with some class. Win with class. Lose with class. And act like a Horned Frog should act. Okay, I'm done.
No, it needed to be said. It was a rough game. Let's just say that. It was not our best effort we've seen out of the TCU Horned Frogs this year. But from WC, Dad, what you got?
Well, I mean, like you said, it's kind of a right from the start, we kind of got a penalty right off the bat. That kind of set the tone for the whole game, really. I mean, it's just I could say that it was a group effort. We just didn't play our best. And not saying that, I always say this, and not saying the kids aren't trying hard. I'm not saying they're they want to lose. They're not saying that the effort wasn't there. It's just one of those nights where, performance-wise, we just didn't have our best performance. And, you got to give Oklahoma some kudos. You make them little mistakes against some teams, it's okay, but you make them little mistakes against the number five team in the country, who will probably move up. Well, no doubt they're going to move up this week, but it costs you ball games, and that's what happened this week.
Well, it was surprising to me that the defense got burned as early and as often as they did. Now, they certainly made the adjustments at halftime and shut it down, and then now, well, I think I heard in a post-game interview that Patterson thought about making those adjustments late in the first, second quarter, but then he didn't want to give the opponents or Oklahoma a chance to time. But, yeah, it was just disappointing from an offensive standpoint. That first series we had, which was scripted, good. But after that, when they're having to, work it on the fly, it didn't work. And we didn't have anything. And, of course, losing Darius Sanderson certainly didn't help. So, yeah, it wasn't our best effort. We didn't show it last night.
Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma was just on. They're a good team. And, I don't think there's any horrible shame in losing to a number five team in the nation. I didn't like – of course, I'd never want to be the loser ever, and I certainly don't like going out there feeling like you just got it handed to you. But hopefully we learn from it. It felt different than Iowa State. We should have won that game when we lost to OSU a couple years back. We just learned we were never going to win that game. I kept thinking, remember the Alamo! Remember the Alamo! Second half will come back, and there's the glimpse near where I thought we were in the.
Can we get, Wes, can you pause while you're, if you're not talking? We're just getting a lot of feedback from you.
Okay, right now. You're probably getting road noise. Yeah, let me,
Thanks.
Let me do that.
Okay. Sorry about that. We'll just get Sean to edit that out at some point. Okay, yeah, that's much better. There we go, Ryan.
This year, we've shut out our opponent in the second half. So it's frustrating that we allowed them to get 38 points up in the first half. I mean, that team should put 38 points up maybe the whole game. So, the blame goes around everywhere. That team, OU, is good. They played lights out last night, and they wanted to beat us, and they did. But it's frustrating to see 38 points the first half and then a shutout in the second half, and you kind of wonder what would it have been like had we...
Ryan froze.
I'll take over for a second while Ryan hopefully unfreezes. But I'll go on with what Ryan was saying. You know, a game like that, a big game playing against a big opponent, you know, if you make mistakes, it's going to cost you, and it cost us last night. Dude, I think we're as bad as we played last night, or what the score was. Actually, the score could have been a lot worse, actually. I think we did make some adjustments that made us look better in the second half. I don't think Oklahoma had the urgency to do what they were doing the first half, the second half. I think they were thinking, let's get out of this game and, get out of this game with a win and stuff like that. So, I just, everything from the special teams to the offense, the defense, to the play call, the adjustment, I just felt like Saturday is one of the rare games that we were just totally off kilter everywhere.
I agree with you. I think this game could have gotten a lot uglier if really Oklahoma didn't think they were going to play us again in 3 weeks. They kind of pulled off the gas, it seemed like. Not saying that we didn't make some adjustments. I think that's part of it. But at the same time, they weren't really dialing it up like they were in the first half. But that's kind of the way it goes when you're having an off game. And we did in all phases. It was just not a great game by the Frogs. And, you know, there can't be blame on any one person. It was an ugly game. And really, it's hard to – you can't make mistakes that give points to a good team like Oklahoma. The penalties, the missed extra missed field goal, you just can't leave points out on the field and you can't give them points. And we did that.
Yeah, that's the one thing that probably has part of it. I mean, not saying I was disappointed in a lot of things, but you can't have the penalties we have. It kept two drives alive for sure that ended up in 14 points. We actually kicked the field goal. We had somebody jump, so that took 3 points away. So, that's a lot of pointage right there. 17 points that shouldn't have been there. 14 points on their side and 3 points on our side, which would actually tied up the game right then. And, that could, stuff like that has a big mindset on the rest of the game. But, all of a sudden when it started snowballing, I just think we got rattled. And I think they got a really good offense. And I think when they got rattled, they went for the knockout in the first half. You got to give it to them. They did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, they did. That was really the thing that stood out to me the most about them. They took advantage of the momentum when it got there. They definitely did. What do you got, Wes?
Well, I was just talking about penalties and that ejection of Boson. With the replay I saw, he was being pinned down by two guys, and he's trying to get out from underneath that pin job they did. Now, I didn't see him kick anybody. He's obviously flailing his legs, but I kind of equate that to like a wrestler when he's down and he's trying to, he's trying to do whatever they call it, where he bounces the other guy off and trying to get out from underneath that pin job that they had him on. And then the referee ejected him, which I I don't know. Did you guys were there? Did he actually pick them or what?
You know what? We never really saw anything. All of a sudden, we see the penalty. I actually thought it was going to be holding on them, and then I thought the penalty was going to be on them for a personal foul. And then all of a sudden, we got the personal foul, and I was really surprised that that we got it. And then everything I've seen, like you said, I never saw him kicking. I saw him kicking like he was trying to get up.
Exactly.
I never saw him kicking anybody. But I've never seen it. I've always seen little snippets of it, and I've always seen a replay. You know, I mean, a small amount of a replay, and on that replay, it didn't show anything. But I don't think I've ever seen the whole play again.
Yeah, it was hard because I'm like you. I've only seen snippets of it, but the snippets I've seen shown that he was just trying to get out from underneath those two guys. And you know, of course, we get a flag and an ejection. And does he have to sit out the first half of the next game? Is that how that works? Or
I'm not sure on that because he got hurt. He did get kicked out in the first half, so I'm not positive how that is. I know in targeting you have to sit out if you get the second half. You have to sit out the first half of the next game, but it was in the first half. But I'm not sure how the whole personal foul getting kicked out is. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to be handled this week.
Yeah, but, I don't know. And along with penalties, I mean, how many reviews did we have yesterday? Was it six or seven?
There was a lot. I mean,
oh, my God.
A lot count.
I think this is something the NCAA needs to take a serious look at because it cuts down on the flow of the game. It slows it down. And, I mean, how many of these are actually overturned? Let the human factor play in every once in a while. It's going to balance out in the end.
For sure. I mean, but there was a couple that the one that baffled me more than anything was late in the game. We're down 38-14 at this point. Baker Mayfield has like the 26-yard run and fumbles. They recover it very clearly, and they call the review on that. And no one really knew what it was. You know, what at that point, what's the review for?
I mean, both sides. I mean, TCU fans and Oklahoma fans were like, really?
Even
if you say he didn't, I mean, he didn't fumble. You're talking about a yard for all that.
Maybe a yard. I mean,
it was just ridiculous. I agree with you, Wes. I mean, of all the review things I think I've seen, that might have been one of the most, I mean, the game was just terrible because of the flow and everything. And then, how many times did they just come on and tell you why they didn't do something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about it. I mean, I wasn't even, you know, it didn't even cross my mind until they'd stop the game and say,
said, hey, we didn't throw a flag here because of this. And that happened two or three times, I think, which I've never seen before. It was baffling.
Yeah.
You know what? I would be happy if they just fired the Big 12 refs and bring in high school refs. You couldn't do any worse. I mean, these guys are awful.
It was ugly.
It was bad. I will agree with that. And I'm not really... I'm not going to sit there and point the finger at them saying that's why we lost or anything like that because I'm not saying that whatsoever. They were just bad. And they were bad at what they supposed to be really good at. They weren't even close.
And they were bad on both sides.
Yeah. I mean,
it was equal opportunity terribleness. But I don't know what the Big 12, I don't know if they address these problems in the offseason or what, but by gosh, they need to. Because it's not getting any better. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
And you know, I think this might improve if they just go ahead and make these guys full-time referees and pay them. You know, like the NFL, well, I guess the NFL still does that, don't they? Or do they do that now? They didn't used to, but guys
still
make
this
a part-time
job, but yeah, it definitely, there's got to be something to make this better because it was pretty horrible last night. Not saying it even affected the game as far as the score, but you just couldn't get an actual flow of the game ever because, I mean, you were stopping for 6 or 7 minutes on something that was very trivial or no call. You know, I heard them literally say we didn't throw a flag because of something. Well, then why even, what's the, you know, they didn't call a penalty, but they also didn't throw the flag, so you I don't understand.
I don't either. I don't either. But you know what? It's just not getting any better. Hey, I'm going to put myself on mute and move up. There's somebody just pulled up behind me in the car, and there's a police behind him. So I'm going to get out of the way of this thing. So let me go a few miles down the road here, and I'll be back.
All righty.
Do we have Ryan back now?
Yes, we do have
Ryan. I think you're on mute still, Ryan.
Ryan's on mute still.
Okay. Bye. Hey, we're kind of having a day like
a TCU day. We're having an Orange Frog day.
Yeah,
it's a little rough for us today too.
Yeah, we're sliding over.
Not
quite. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, hey, when you talk to we're blue in the face. I mean, it was just one of them games where you got to say that they. You know, they had our number. We didn't play good. They took it to us. They did what good teams are supposed to do when you have somebody down. I mean, it won't be the last time it probably happens to us. It won't be the last time we'll have the opportunity to do that to other people. You know, and that's just part of it. There were some good teams yesterday that the same thing happened to them too, you know. So it's just part of football and, you know. The only thing you can do is write it off. It's not the end of our season. I mean, we still have the opportunity to
win the Big 12.
Win the Big 12, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to do that.
And if you would have told, I mean, and that's the crazy thing about this season, too. It's been, I mean, it has been a lot. We have exceeded expectations, I think, you know, tenfold. Think about before the season where everyone thought we were going to be, and now we are still after two losses in the last 3 weeks or whatever, we are still very much in the race to win the Big 12, which,
yep.
I mean, we've got a chance to go beat a top four team for the Big 12.
Y'all, and listen to this, too. Let's just, and if y'all said this while I was having technical difficulties, then I apologize, but just to gain some perspective, I mean, we played the number 5 team and lost to them clearly. But while that was happening, Notre Dame was playing Miami, two very good teams, and Miami just kicked Notre Dame's rear end, you know? And then same with Georgia and Auburn. Like, I mean, so it happens, and I feel like our fans feel like it's only happening to us. We're the only team that does this, but we're not at all. This is sports. This is football. This is just what happens. So, and it's how you play after those bad games that really defines your season and you and your character.
Agreed.
I mean, I think in the first year, if everybody would have been writing down where they thought we'd be at this point in time, I guarantee you most people would be extremely happy if you came and said, hey, at this point in time, juncture in the season, we're going to be 8-2 and blah, blah, blah. No, are we all disappointed? Yeah, we saw the prize right there slip through our fingers as far as the Final Four. But still, where this team started with and where we're at now, you know, I'm not saying I'm not disappointed at the you know, losing the game and stuff like that. But at the same time, hey, there's a lot of people going to go home without playing bowl games. There's going to be a lot of people, you know, that are going to be finishing 500 or this or that. And we still really got a true, really good shot to finish with 10 wins again.
And you know, before the game.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Still win 12 games this season.
Yeah.
12.
Which, like, you know, every year, I mean, if you gave that to me, you know, every year, I mean, shoot, do I want to win the national championship? Yes, I do. But, you know, I want us to be good and competitive, and sheesh, we've definitely been that. So I say we take a shovel, dig a hole, throw it all in there, cover it up, bury it, and let's look at next week.
I'm agreeing with you. In light of that, we do not have any plays of the game this week. We just part of that is Sean was out, so we didn't make a thread. You know, Sean's not been doing so well right now. He's had some medical stuff going on. So the burying of the last game is sponsored by ML Letty's in the Fort Worth Stockyard. Go to them for all your Western wear needs. Ryan, do you have anything else to add about MLEDs? I know you're a lot more familiar with them than me.
I'm a huge fan, and I cannot wait to get my personally designed TCU boots. Y'all are going to be so jealous. They should be coming in. I'm crossing my fingers this week because I would love to wear them to the Tech game, and then, of course, have them for the last game this season. I should have ordered them this summer, and I thought about it last minute, and, of course, now I'm waiting. But I'll have them all through basketball season and baseball season. So can't wait to show those off.
Yeah, you're going to have to post those on the board for sure.
Well, I know there's other thing about the play of the games, all that. We, like Ryan alluded to, and I'll let her take this up. We rolled in about 4 o'clock, 3:30 last in the morning. And so, like she said, it was like we were pulling an all-nighter, but we were just on a bus trying to get home. And I'm getting old. It's getting harder.
Yeah, it is. It is getting harder. And the thing is that to get out of that, I'm so thankful for TCU and the way I know people gripe about getting out of the parking lot, but that's just what happens on game days. But we parked where you parked on campus and you had to pay for a shuttle to take you to the stadium because the campus is so big. And it took hours to get back after the game. We left a little bit before the game ended because we kind of thought that would be the case because that's what happened on the way there as well. And I will say it was fun. I didn't get to see the sack, but it was fun. I mean, that was kind of fun to at least get the sack at the end of the game. You know, I mean, yeah. Right? But yeah, we got back, I guess, about, 3:30, I think?
And yeah, then, I think it was right at 3:30.
Oh, my goodness. You're like just flat happy, delirious. But I was watching everybody get off the bus, and everybody, no matter what we just went through, was just so happy and thankful. I mean, they got off the bus and they said that was just so much fun, even though we lost. And I love those moments. You know, it is still fun. It's still a wonderful experience. It's still great to be a Frog, even when it's not the best game. After that, Mike and I, he leads a charity called 10-7. I'm going to take y'all on a little trip right now for fallen policemen, fallen heroes, and wounded, seriously wounded. We had a trip planned already before we realized that we were going to have a night game. So we had to leave the house at 5 a.m. So that tells you, we got back to Arlington at 4, unloaded the car, reloaded it, and then drove out to Louisville Lake to meet one of the families of one of the officers who was killed in the Clinton motorcade back in 2008, and then 3 families from the Dallas sniper shooting. Two were killed, and then one lady from Dart was seriously wounded. And I tell you what, as exhausted as we were, wow, that just puts everything in perspective really quickly for you. And we had just a wonderful early morning with them fishing and then eating lunch. That was just pretty special. So I was at least glad to end the weekend with something like that that actually puts everything the way it should be, what's important, what's not.
Yeah, that would definitely put everything in perspective. It seems like after something like that, you'd think, all right, a football game is a football game. But that's what it is at the end of the day, a football game.
Definitely.
And, you know, so you're right. I didn't realize y'all went out and did that. So I know that I'm surprised you're sitting here talking to us.
My eyes are burning. It's crazy when you don't get sleep, what that does to your body. I'll add this too. We have such a fun week ahead of us at TC. Basketball season started. Volleyball's still going on. They're actually having a Fiddler on the Roof on campus where a play that they're having that we're going to. One of the girls on this trip today, her mother was the one that was wounded, seriously wounded. She loves to play volleyball and basketball. She's in middle school. And so we're going to try to get her out to meet Coach Reagan Peebly and meet the players and then go to a volleyball game as well. She's so excited about it. They live maybe an hour away, but they are looking forward to coming to the game and meeting some of the athletes. That's what TCU does best. That's what our fans do best. I'm excited for this little girl to be able to experience the Horned Frog family soon.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That will be a good experience.
Oh, you know what? Hunter. Her name is Hunter as well. Isn't that cool?
Good name.
Goodness. Well, you are right. I mean, basketball's kicking in. You know, I know that they have games Friday night, and as far as the boys, and I don't know where the girls were at for sure, but, you know, we're kind of starting to slide from one season to the next. So the good thing is, you know, we're getting close to the bowl game, and wherever we're at, because I can promise you we're going to be in a bowl game. So it starts being fun and exciting during this time.
It definitely does. And now we're going to go recap the Big 12 this past week. You know, we know the TCU Oklahoma. Did anyone see the other big game this week, the Oklahoma State-Iowa State game?
No, but we listened to it.
Yeah. I got to watch some of it on the bus, just on my phone. And, man, it was just like back and forth. I mean, just so back and forth. I'm surprised that Iowa State didn't win that game. Really, Oklahoma State looked like they were just not able to get anything going defensively, and they were down multiple times offensively. But Iowa State just kept in there. But, you know, Oklahoma State, they've got that big, high-powered offense. They scored 18 points in the fourth quarter and somehow pulled it out. So,
yeah, it looked, didn't the Iowa State quarterback get hurt?
Yeah, the backup was actually the one who played most of the game for Iowa State, and he did well.
Yeah, that's what I watched a little bit of it yesterday at the wedding reception. You know, I kept sticking my neck around the corner looking at the television that was hanging above the bar. But I'm like you. I was surprised Iowa State did not win. And you know, they're for real. I mean, Coach Campbell's done a great job over there putting that team together. Now, you know, if he can keep it going. I look at that. They have a lot of seniors in that team, don't they? I think Lazar, the receivers.
Yes, they've got quite a few upperclassmen. But they, you know, they've also got some young talent. Hakeem Butler and then David Montgomery are both underclassmen. So you never know. And they've got, you know, they're having a pretty good recruiting class, everything else. Iowa State on the come up, definitely.
Well, good. I mean, that's the conference needs it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just shows how deep the conference is. That's a four-loss team. They've lost three games in conference, and they're still ranked number 21 in the nation before yesterday. And, I mean, they're a salty team. They played, you know, they gave Oklahoma State every bit they wanted and probably some more.
Good. Yeah, I think, you know, hey, think of it. Oklahoma's going to go to a bowl. We're going to a bowl. Iowa State's going to go. Oklahoma State's going to go. Texas, I guess, could still technically get in one.
Yep. Texas and Tech both have five wins.
That's right.
It's looking like really Baylor and Kansas. Baylor and Kansas are the only two who don't have a shot at a bowl this week or this year.
Hey, Kansas scored some points yesterday.
They did score some points, though.
Yes, they did.
They definitely did.
I'm happy for them.
So, in fact, Wes, do you want to go on to that game? The Kansas-Texas game?
Yeah.
Start us off about it.
Well, I mean, I was able to watch it. I was trying to follow the game tracker, but, you know, I'm looking at it. And of course, Texas pretty well had command of the game from start to finish. But Kansas showed some offense, had some signs of life out there, which is more than they've had the past couple of weeks. So, it was a good sign for them. I guess Coach Beatty and that crew may still be in question as far as, you know, whether they're here next year, but at least they had some fight yesterday, and they didn't have negative rushing yardages, and that's good to see.
Definitely,
and the fact that they showed a little life against Texas even better does my heart well.
Same here. None of us really got to see it because we were on the bus, but yes, it was nice that we got to see Kansas score some points actually this year. And so here we go on to the next one. We're going Texas Tech Baylor. Dad,
okay, I was 100% wrong. I mean,
okay, somebody write this down.
We were angry at you.
I know. I was wrong. Write it down. I'm admitting it. Throw it out there. I was wrong. I won't make that mistake anymore.
Yeah. Please do not ever hope, or not hope, but pick Baylor to win again. And you know, none of us really got to see most of these games. We were tied up on the bus or at a wedding. So last one was West Virginia, Kansas State, and probably closer than most of us thought it was going to be. West Virginia won 28-23. So
yeah, I mean, unless something happened during the end, I mean, you know, sometimes in scores you don't always know.
They scored pretty much all the points, but three of them. Kansas State scored three in the second half, but that was the only second half scoring. Okay. So it was 28-20 going into halftime, and then no one ever scored again, really. Yeah. So, you know, it looked like it was a scoring game early on, but got ugly quick.
Yeah, I guess you got to wonder. I asked myself, how much longer is Snyder going to – I know we had a discussion before, but, you know, they're not having a good year by their standards at all.
No.
Having a very inferior year by their standards. And it, you know, Snyder just does not look well on the sidelines. I know he's got cancer. It's got to be hard for him physically to get out there and do this from day to day.
It does.
And he may not be doing much practice. He may just be standing there on the sidelines and being as much of a manager as he feels like he could be because of his illness. But you know, at some point, you got to say, Coach, you've earned a break. Take it and hang it up.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the hard thing for him. I think they're in a catch-22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, I mean, they did
do
that.
How do you fire the guy whose name's on the stadium?
Well, you don't fire him.
Yeah.
That's the problem, though, in his mind. I don't know if he's ready to walk away from it like it is. I think he's wanting to walk away from it when he possibly, you know, gets the program back up and running again. And, you know, I don't know if it's his time anymore. But, you know, the problem is, you know, you brought him back after you fired him one time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now he became your savior there for a while because at least he had you back playing pretty solid football again.
Yeah.
So now you're in the catch-22. How do you do it?
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm not saying they should fire him. That's
I just think they're in a catch-22. Whether I don't know what the right answer is. Maybe somebody does need to and say, hey, you know, you've done a great job for us, but hey, it's time. And but how do you do that? I think you're in a catch-22 to try to even do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. And maybe that, you know, and I'm just throwing this out there. His son's his special teams coach. Maybe his son needs to say, Dad, I love you. Take a break. Seriously. For your sake, you've earned it. You know, but then again, that's, you know, not my call. Certainly none of our calls. But,
yeah. You know, he is a coaching lifer. He is the definition of a lifer as far as that. And, you know, he's one of those guys who wants to do it as long as he can. So it's just a tough situation all around. But,
yeah.
You know, hopefully win another game, get to go to a bowl game. I'd love that for Kansas State. I've got nothing but respect for Bill Snyder. So, yeah, it's hard to see.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let's talk about, if you don't mind, I mean, we talked about Baylor and Tech, but Tech won one, and they're not too far off being bowl eligible. But do you think Coach Brose saved his job this year?
I don't think so.
Well, so what's how many wins is he
he's
in right
5-5.
Now?
So he's got to win 5 in the Big 12.
But he's got to win one more.
He's got to win one more. And let's
so
see Texas.
Got us and who's he got?
I'm looking right now, Texas Tech football schedule. He has us and Texas.
Oh, that's going to be tough. I don't know.
That's going to be tough.
I could say, well, what's probably going to end up happening is one of them's going to become bowl eligible. One of them's going to knock themselves out.
Yeah, because Texas plays West Virginia next week, and I don't see Texas beating West Virginia.
Yeah. Where are they playing? Morgantown or Austin?
I am not sure what's at West Virginia.
Yeah.
So
gonna be a tough one.
No, that's gonna be a tough one. So really you're seeing you could see a Texas Tech Texas game for a bowl game. And Yeah, I don't think it's going to save Coach Burrow's job, though. I think he's on his way out there.
Well, if he doesn't win enough to get into a bowl game, he's out. I mean, I don't even think that's a question.
Yeah, I think he's definitely out of then, but I think he's pretty much out regardless at this point. Unless he were to beat TCU in Texas to end the season.
Yeah.
I just don't see happening.
Yeah, that's another tough one. And then, you know, I always ask myself, you get rid of a guy, who do you replace him with? I mean, you try and hire an established guy, do you go out and get an up-and-comer? Or find a coordinator that's ready to move up? I don't know. I always ask myself, what happened if Gary Patterson left? Boy, who would you find to replace him with? He's irreplaceable in my mind.
Yep.
I mean, I know somebody out there did the job, but my goodness, you know.
But that's one of the great things about TCU. We haven't had to worry about that in so long you know, I mean, you can't, that's one of the, I mean, that's TCU, one of their biggest selling points, I think, is that just the continuity in the program for the past 17 years.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Right. He's the second longest tenured behind D'Antonio, I think.
Yeah.
You know, how can you you can't ask for anything else as a coach.
Yeah. I can remember years ago, I won't say who called me and told me about this, but there was, recently it came out that Patterson had talked to Nebraska, I think, in Tennessee. So it's probably in that time frame, but Patterson, you know, a guy who's, I will say he's an insider, called me and said, hey, just an FYI, that if Patterson leaves here, and he might, we won't know yet, but they're talking about hiring and promoting Eddie Williamson to head coach. And I thought, really? You know? Why would you do that? And the only answer was to maintain continuity of the program, and Eddie had been a former head coach at Furman.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, continuity of the program is great, but I don't know if something like that happened. Would you go out and you find somebody fresh and bring in new perspective, or try and stick with continuity? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know either. Hopefully we don't have to deal with it. I mean, I know we don't have to, you know, in the near future, but, you know, 5-10 years from now, it's coming. So hopefully we don't have to think about it at all until then.
Well, personally, here's my thing with Patterson. I think he's happy here. You know, he kind of said a couple of weeks ago that their criteria, he likes where he can talk to the alumni and be with the boosters, but also let them know in uncertain terms that they don't have a stake in the program. If he went to Texas or Alabama or someplace like that, you know darn good and well those people think they have a stake in the program and they're going to try and have that stake. So, to me, he kind of planted his flag right there at TCU to stay. Personally, I think he's the kind of guy that puts his nose to the grindstone, works hard, and when he wins a national championship, that's when I think he say, I've had enough, I'm going to go play guitar and travel with my wife for a little while. So, nobody's ever said that to me, and he certainly hasn't, but that's just my take on it. I think he'll keep going until he wins the big one, and then you're going to see Gary Patterson check it out.
Yeah, I think so, too. He loves Fort Worth. And Kelsey obviously loves Fort Worth, and they're so well connected, and they do other things than just TCU football here. So their life is here. He wants to, his life obviously is football and watching film after film after film. And so I think probably getting to the point where he wants to have a life with his family, wife, and travel and do some neat things that he's not ever been able to do. I mean, he's been doing this his whole life. So I see him retiring before I ever see him leaving TCU to go to another school to win a national championship. He'll do what he can here, reach the top here, and then retire. Well, and we get to forever.
There's no for sures if you leave, but I think he's figured that out. I think if you see what's happened with other coaches, and at this point in time and stage in the game, why would you want to leave anyway? You've built a great program. That's going to be competitive year in and year out, you know, and
your legacy.
And if you have a year like you had last year, where it wasn't your finest year, you know, there's no talk or this about getting rid of, you know, getting rid of them and going somewhere else. I mean,
oh my gosh,
it's just, hey, we're all right. We had a bad year, you know. Hopefully, we're going to turn it around and, you know, and do this. And hey, he's actually, in the last few years, I mean, talent wise, especially, he's building the program. He's built it again. He's got to build it to another tier, than it wasn't at, you know, until we got to the Big 12. So there's no reason for him to do that. He's got everything laid out here to do what he wants to do and stuff like that. So it'd be crazy in my mind for him to – I just don't even think – like you said, I don't think he's even thinking about anything like that. Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Hear, hear.
Well, we would be moving on to the recruiting right now, but there's not much going on. So we're going to go on to next week's games. And we'll start off with Iowa State and Baylor.
Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Iowa State.
I just want to be the first one to say
Iowa State. Yeah, Dad, I knew he was going to do that. And we'll just throw Sean in there. He's going to.
Where is that game going to be played?
It is. At McLean.
Yay. Even better.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think Iowa State's just too good for them.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Okay, next we got Texas and West Virginia in Morgantown.
Virginia.
I like West Virginia. I mean, you know, they played some games closer than I thought they would, or let some teams hang around. At the same time, you know, I think you're in Morgantown and you know, they still got things to play for, too.
Definitely. That being said, though, I just think West Virginia, at home especially, I think West Virginia is going to take this one.
Yeah. I think it'll be a competitive game, but I think West Virginia will take it as well.
Same here. We've got the ultimate matchup, Oklahoma and Kansas. In Memorial Stadium in Lawrence. So.
Oh, boy, that can be ugly.
Yeah, we're picking Oklahoma. They're probably backup's going to get a lot of playing time.
Yep.
And then the last game before the TCU game is Oklahoma State, K-State at Boone Pickens.
Go with you.
Oklahoma State.
I'm going to OSU on that.
I'm also going to OSU. So we move past those games and on to the game of the week. TCU, your Horned Frogs at Texas Tech. What do you guys think? Ryan, start us off.
TCU, of course. Definitely. I think we'll bounce back. I think.
What would you like to see on from this TCU team coming back off the loss?
No more penalties. They're killing me. I've gotten to a point now where I just think of games. He who has the fewest penalties wins. So just, oh my gosh, no more penalties. Especially the stupid ones. And yeah, I'm nervous about our kicking team now. That song is no longer singing. Makes me so let's hope that we can just score touchdowns and not have to get into a field goal battle.
Wasn't that a groin injury that kept him out last year?
Yes, this is his recurring injury. He's had, I mean, he's a kicker with a bad groin, so you...
a groin transplant? Mm-hmm. What's going on with his groin?
Really, none of us know. It was just, supposedly he tweaked it the other day in practice and then couldn't go on Saturday, so...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a...
Reoccurring, so it seems like... going to continue to happen. Let's figure out something.
Well, we do have some other legs on the team. If I remember correctly, we had a guy transferred from Michigan who's a kicker. And I don't think he's seen any action this year, but he's out there. And I understand he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Cole Bunch kick off, and I assume he can kick field goals. But, you know, and Ryan Graff was up there yesterday. He made one, then we had the offside or the illegal procedure or whatever it was, and he missed the follow-up on it. But anyway, I don't think we're totally as bad off as we were last year on kicking, but
No, but it's definitely not fun to be back in that gray area where we don't exactly know who we have. So
yeah.
I'm hoping we get, you know, we get some of that ironed out before this week, but it, you know, a kicker with a bad groin just is not a great injury. No. Dad, what'd you like to see about this week?
Well, I just want to see us play consistent. I want to see us start fast, start without penalties, because like you said, penalties just, they just stop you in your tracks. And, I just want to get back to playing like we played most of the season. I still think, at some point in time, I think, I hope we open up the offense a little bit more. I think that's just something I don't know if we have to open up the offense against Tech, because I think we're better than Tech. And if we just play – if we play good, they play good, I think we beat Tech. But you know, at some point in time, let's say we win the next two games, we're fixing to come right back around to play in Oklahoma again. I don't want to have to try to experiment and do things then against them that we could be doing the next 2 weeks. And I'm not saying you're experimenting for the Oklahoma game, but I think that's just something I think our offense has gotten ultra conservative. And, so it's going to be, we got to figure out something there. And then like defense just, they need to get back on it. And I tell you what I'd like to see, because the one bright spot in the Oklahoma game, it was fun to see them kick off the turf in one time. Because when they finally kicked it into his hands one time, they figured out the next time they just weren't going to do that anymore. So I'd really like to see him kick the Turpin again.
I'm with you on that. That's what I want. I want to see less penalties, and I want to see us get the ball to – I want to see us spread the ball around to our playmakers like I feel like we were at the start of the season. I do feel like we've also gotten a little conservative offensively, and I want to see us give Turpin the ball. I want to see us get the ball to Dez White in space. Throw to the middle of the field some. Really, really get our guys in position where our best athletes are against their athletes, and we say, hey, let's see who's better. And I feel like we've got better athletes than them to do that. It just hasn't been the case in some of the past weeks. But, that's – Tech's a beatable team. I don't know. I think we're going to beat them pretty handily, but I would like to see us open the offense a little bit more. Wes, what do you think about this?
Well, I agree with everything you said. You know, you can bet Tech's going to open up the offense on us.
Definitely.
And I don't understand why that we've gone to this conservative offensive shell, going offense, put the ball in the hands of the playmakers, throw some stuff over the middle, and let our guys – make them catch our guys. Gosh, we got speed. We've got ability. Use it. I don't get what Gumby's done. And I want to see us establish an offensive identity, because I can't figure out what it is lately. It's a little bit of run, a little bit of pass, dink, dunk, maybe toss the ball a few yards down the field. But that's about it. We don't go over the middle. We don't do anything. You know, just take the cover off the darn thing and make them guess what we're going to do.
And you can play conservative and still do some of that. That's the thing about it. I mean, I understand that, hey, probably our best offense or defense, some of it would have been to have, take control of the ball with the run and stuff like that. But there's still times when you have to try to take your shots down the field. We got to take our shots down the middle of the field. I don't think people know we're not going to throw it to the middle of the field, so – I mean, it's kind of like it just makes it easier to defend us, knowing that for whatever reason, I don't know what the reason is, but for whatever reason, we're just not going to take a shot down the middle. I mean, very rarely are we going to take a shot down the middle field. Maybe we're worried. Maybe we're this. Maybe we're that. I don't know. But I think for us to be a really good team, that's something we're just going to have to do.
The less we do it, the more predictable we become.
That's exactly right.
Definitely.
And so, that unpredictability that that strikes fear in the hearts of these defenses. And, you know, right now, I don't think anybody's afraid of us because we don't do anything.
No, we've become conservative, that's for sure. Yeah. And for whatever reason, and, you know, of course, we're not sitting in the film room and this and that, blah, blah, blah. So we don't know. So, but at the same time, it just seems like, you know, we could, you know.
Oh, listen, we know. We know. Yeah. We're sitting here. We're armchair offensive coordinators. We know exactly what
to do. I know. You're exactly right.
Yeah, really, to me, the thing that's just bothered me the most, it seems when we throw a deep pass, or if we really try to get any passing game open, we're just thrown down the sideline, and that's hard. That's a hard place for a guy to get open. I mean, we've got small, quick receivers, so those guys, it's tough to get them to body up, and, you know, we're asking them to do something that I don't think is their strong suit.
You know, when he had Dotson, he could body up. You know, yeah. One throwing him down the sideline. And, you know, some of the receivers that went against us are big receivers. But when you don't have the biggest guys that, you know, DRs can do it. But you know, I don't know how many guys we have that you throw down the sideline and can go up and body up on somebody and take the ball away from somebody.
Well, yeah, I think Taj Williams could. I mean, he's a little lean, but he's got the height. He can get up there and order. I mean, I guess he's still on the team. He could do it. He's a kind of a big physical guy, but.
Yeah, but apparently them guys aren't, you know, for whatever reason, they're
exactly.
They're not playing for whatever reason, for whatever, you know, I'm not second to guess on the coaches there at all, because I surely don't know, but I'm just saying, you know, if that's not, if we're not going to play those type of guys, then, hey, maybe it's something we need to think about. I mean, it's something we need to think about as far as where we're throwing the ball.
Yeah, but when we throw it down there like we did yesterday, Snell, I mean, who is it? Rager's got to catch the darn thing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that was Jalen Austin.
I will say he made a great catch on the sideline the next one. But, you know,
but he missed two.
But he missed a couple ones that can't miss.
Yeah,
You know, I just think we've been maybe gotten away from some things, and I don't know. It's just it's been hard to watch. But hopefully we can get it back this week.
You know, it's odd. We've got greater depth of wide receiver than we had a long time, but we're not using it. We just don't use it.
So, well, you know, then maybe that's just saying something about the position right now.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the whole deal. You know, I mean, you know, maybe some of them's going through some growing spurts, growing pains, I guess. Maybe not spurts, but pains.
They're going through something.
Yep, they're exactly right.
Oh, my gosh.
But you know what? It's a new week, and I'm a firm believer that, you know, I've seen Patterson do a lot of things, and I'm the first one to say very rarely do I see him lose the same way twice. I think he'll come back and be ready, and he'll have a good scheme going, and I think we'll right the ship this week. I mean, we'll come back.
The best news, too, is that the Tech game is at 11 a.m., so those students will still be ripe and the sleepy out of their eyes by the time we kick off.
That is true. Hey, think, Ryan, if you're taking a bus out there, you'd have to leave by 3 in the morning.
Yeah, no doubt. Actually, and I will take this moment to say that our TC fans, we're kind of wussy sometimes when it comes to hostile environments. And so our Tech bus did not make. So I think a lot of people are still going, but they want to have their own cars there. They can leave when they want to leave. And
I can't. That was a tough one to fill up in years past, but
it is. Well, we had the best time the last time we went there. I'd much rather ride the bus than drive out there, but that's all right. It's still going to be a good day.
That's right. That's right.
Yep. I think we'll go out and do what we need to do against Tech. I don't think they're that impressive, but it's definitely, I want to see us get back on the right foot.
Yeah, we sure need to, and we need it. I'll save my comments for our prediction at the end here, but I think it's, we need to do it. And they owe it to themselves to do it.
Definitely. So does anyone else have anything to add about the Tech game? Anything you want to see? Anyone, you know, anything at all? Ryan? Wes? Dad?
No. Nope. Nope.
I'm going to see a lot of points. A lot of points.
Yeah.
The season. So we need, I think we need some style points. I think the style points are stupid, but obviously we need them. And I think our offense needs to put some points on the board and look good.
I'm with you, Ryan. I want us to, if we can beat Tech by, I mean, I'd take another 82 by us. I'm with that all the way. I really want to see our offense get back on the right foot, maybe gain some confidence back. That's my main thing. So
I want us to go over 40 points and hold them. That's what I'm hoping for.
Me too. I want to see us get back on, get that confidence back on both sides of the ball. So
I'd take 82. Just bring enough fireworks. That's all you have to do.
Exactly. Well, with that, we're going to move on to predictions. Ryan, what do you got this week? What are your predictions for this game?
Right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and stick with my over 40 hope. And so I'm going to say 42. Oh, man.
Wes, are you grocery shopping back there?
Yeah, I am, actually. Right. Good call.
All right, so I'm going to go back 42 for the Frogs, and I know their offense is pretty good, so 28.
42-28?
Yeah.
All right. Dad, what do you got?
I'm going to split it a little further. I'm going to go 49-21. I think that we are going to come out with a vengeance. I think our defense is going to want to come out and show that, you know, last week's the Oklahoma game was an apparition on the bad side, and that they're going to show that they're playing defense. And I think our offense is going to ride itself a little bit. We're going to open it up, and we're going to score points. And then we're going to get ready for our second rematch.
Wes, what about you?
I got macaroni and cheese and a protein shake. Oh, you're talking about getting off. You're right. I was at H-E-B here.
Hey, good choice. If you're going to go shopping, go to H-E-B.
The wife sent me a text to bring me some mac and cheese. You know, you got to do what she said. Anyway, I think I agree with everybody else. The Frogs are going to come out roaring. Defense is going to be as salty as ever. The offense, knock on wood, is going to open it up and score some darn points. And we're going to send Coach Pro to an early grave here. Coaching grave, not physical grave. Let's see, prediction. I kind of like 42. Can I do that or can I?
Oh, you can go 42.
Okay, 42-21. We're going to double 42, up 21. On.
Okay, take a little bit from both. I'm gonna go a little bit higher on the score. I'm going to go 52. Actually, I'm going to go 55.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm thinking we're going to win 55-17. I see us coming out with a vengeance this week. And I think we're going to keep the gas on the whole way. I think Patterson's going to be mad. I think our players are going to be mad. I think Cumbie wants to score as many as he can. So with that, I think it's going to be a big win for TCU this week. I'm taking TCU 55-17.
I love it.
So
I love it.
Let's hope it happens. But you know, we need to bounce back this week.
Yes, we do.
I want to run through the schedule real quick, what we've got going on at TCU Monday, which this will come out on Tuesday, so we'll hope for that. We'll be reporting on a win from the men's basketball team, but they will have actually just played Tennessee on Monday. So then the Tuesday, TCU is at SMU for women's basketball at 7 o'clock. If you live in Dallas and you're a TCU fan, get out there and support them. That's a fun place to watch a basketball game. On Wednesday, we had TCU against Texas Tech at home for women's volleyball. I mean, this is like a perfect evening in my mind. That starts at 6 o'clock, women's volleyball against Tech. And then at 8 o'clock, we have men's basketball again against South Dakota. So you can literally go watch volleyball, walk over to the coffee, and then watch basketball. And that is a great evening. And then, of course, then on Saturday, we head to Lubbock for the football game.
Cool. Perfect. What a great week.
Yep. Very good. Like a real good one. Well, now we're on to player or coach of the week. Ryan, you want to start us off? Oh, I just got a disapproving look from the boss.
I said it earlier. Listen, so help me out, because I'd already started walking back to the bus. I know, but it was a long walk. So, but who sacked Baker Mayfield in the fourth quarter at the end? Do we remember? Sorry.
Let's see.
My favorite player, because that, I mean, I was waiting for that the whole game, and didn't really happen. And so when I was listening to the game on the way back, that made me happy. That was a win for me when we sacked him. So that it goes to that player for me.
All right. We can keep going, and I will find out who that player is as we are going on. Dad, who you got?
I got Coach Dixon. He started out the year with a win in basketball. That's where I'm going. Y'all, I think it's, you know, it's fair to go to the basketball route. That's where I'm going.
Always forget that.
Also, Ryan, I found out it is LJ Collier. Number 91 defensive end. That was who. LJ Collier was the one who had the sack. So that is Ryan's player.
Collier. All right. So Collier's my
player. And then with Dad, we got Jamie Dixon. And Wes, where are you going?
You know what? I got Kevonte. Give me the damn ball, Turpin. You put the ball in his hand, and things just happen.
He's electric.
He is electric, and he had that great return yesterday. And, you know, we need to find ways to put that ball in his hand more.
As many times as we can.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go basketball as well. This is a TCU mainstay for the basketball team, Kenrich Williams. He started off the season with a double-double right off the bat. And last year, I think he had 19. He may be a little bit undersized for his position, but, yeah, I mean, hey, he puts up numbers, and he does it in a great conference.
He's a player.
Yep, he is.
A player.
That's right.
So, really, you can't – I mean, if he puts up a great season, I could see him playing, you know, at least getting a shot in the NBA.
I can go with that.
Yep.
It's also Coach Dixon's birthday last Monday, which is kind of cool to have his first game, first win of the season. It was his birthday, and they also got their NIT rings. And they were very, very blingy, very cool. You had to show those off. They were, wow, that's pretty
cool. Gotta have that bling.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Heck yeah. Yep. You got it, flaunt it. Isn't that what they say?
Flaunt it, baby.
You got it, flaunt it.
That's right.
First time we've gotten basketball rings in a long time, so that's good. Good, we're getting that going again.
I want to say something just on Wes's rant earlier too. We're very proud of KillerFrogs.com. It is a representation of all of us participate, and we represent TCU. We're all a Frog family, and nobody takes wins and losses more emotionally than the players, the parents, and the coaches. We're all pretty emotional, but those guys, they're in it. I mean, they're living it more than we are. So we just all need to keep that in mind while we're on the forum. Remember that forum is public, and that we represent ourselves and TCU. So let's always keep that in mind.
Well said.
Agreed.
Yep.
Well, with that, I want to thank everyone for listening to this edition of the Killer Frogs podcast. Hopefully, I didn't butcher being the host too much. Well, hopefully, we have Sean back going next week. Thanks for everyone. You know, thanks for everyone on the bus trip. It was a great trip yesterday, other than the game. But, you know, we had a good time. And then this podcast is available pretty much everywhere you can get podcasts. iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Find us on social media. We're on Facebook. And Twitter and Instagram, we're killer_frogs. Anything else we got, guys?
No. I think it's time for you know what?
It's time. So now's the time when we all say, go Frogs.
Go Frogs.